You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If this had been a bill that simply prohibited chemical castration, I would have signed the bill. But Tucker, as you know, this bill was overbroad, it was extreme, it went far beyond what you just said. And I made it clear that if this was about prohibiting procedures, sex reassignment surgery, absolutely, I would have signed that bill. But this, again, is the first law in the nation that invokes the state between medical decisions, parents who consent to that, and the decision of the patient. And so this goes way too far.
This is April 7th, 2021. Now, those are the words of Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, a Republican. A Republican. He had vetoed a bill passed by his Republican legislature that would have basically prohibited doctors from prescribing puberty-blocking drugs. But he said, I have a reason. Now, of course, there's been an immediate outcry. And, in fact, his veto got overturned by the legislature. They were able to reject it and make it law anyway, despite the governor's veto. But this raises a really big question. And the governor is suggesting that it's also not just a question about how children are being treated regarding gender dysphoria, but also how Republicans and conservatives might be moving too far in the wrong direction. Well, that's going to get into a lot of great detail, because his base premise is that this bill, as you heard him say, if it had just been chemical castration, I would have voted against it. He did an interview with Tucker Carlson, and Carlson immediately said, but that's what this is. They're using drugs. It's chemical castration. There's still a fine line of difference here, and I'm going to try to separate it out for you. Now, the governor primarily said, my concern was that this did more than that. This actually got the state between a patient and their doctor. And he said there's no grandfather clause in this bill to protect young people who are already under hormonal treatments. And that's the battleground. What is your thought? As much as you might oppose a child being pushed into gender transition, be it chemical, puberty blocking, or would it be surgical, as much as you might be against it, what if the child's already in the process of going through it? And it, in my opinion, and probably yours, should have been stopped before it ever started, which is what the intent of the Arkansas bill is. But Governor Asa Hutchinson raises a question. What if the child's already going under some of those treatments? Do you want to stop the treatments that kind of leaves them in limbo more so than they were before? Is that going to be more devastating and damaging to them in the long term than seeing through what they and the parents apparently agreed on? We're going to get into that in great detail, some in this hour and some in the next hour. In fact, I'm going to be joined by Emily Kale. She's the director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at Heritage Foundation. She's defended religious freedom for the last 14 years. And the other part of the question is this an overreach for even Republicans and conservatives if you're going to stop treatments when they're already underway? And, of course, we're going to hear some on the left say, and those pro-abortion, well, you're already getting between doctors and patients by what you're doing with abortion laws. It's not an easy subject to break down, but we're going to do it for you. Also, a Florida congressman, a black congressman, says he is absolutely incensed that apparently the Democrat Party wants to peddle the idea that black Americans are too stupid to get an ID and don't know how to do anything unless they're helped. He said it is a soft bigotry coming from the left. And he also said they are constantly race baiting. Well, we know that. So we'll be getting into that as well. And we have, again, Dr. Fauci saying what's happening at the border regarding COVID cases coming through. That's not my job. Senator Graham says, yes, it is. If you're going to interfere with our barbecue plans, our schools, our clubs, our dining, then you should be concerned about what's happening at the border. And I second that motion, and I'm sure you do. Plus, Senator Graham says, we need a moratorium. Just stop all immigration. Stop it for a while. Got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Stand by. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It bothers the hell out of me. And what's worse is they never show data how somehow black people don't have access to IDs, or it disproportionately affects them because they simply can't get it. They just say it. They throw it out there. There's never any facts or data behind it. That's just what they use. And I find it, frankly, it's disrespectful. It is literally the soft bigotry of low expectations. And so for the left to use this as somehow you having an ID is somehow hindering your right to vote is outrageous to me. It pisses me off. I hate seeing it.
Yeah, I hate seeing it, too, because they're basically, as he said, it's just. Well, let's repeat his words. I'll stick with that. Literally the soft bigotry of low expectations. That's what the black Americans are getting from the left in fighting for voter ID to be dismissed. That is Congressman Byron Donalds, Republican of Florida. And he said, when you argue that voter ID suppressed the black vote, it is disrespectful. Well, of course it is. There are so many reasons folks have to have an ID now, and I would bet most of those that go to the polls and vote anyway already do. And all this, of course, is centered upon the Georgia election law, as if the Georgia election law is already clamping down and not going to allow minorities, specifically blacks, to vote. It does nothing like that. Biden bought the lie. He repeats it. Other members of the left push the story and say, this is what they're doing. They're taking away our right to vote. They're not doing any of that. And, of course, then came the whiplash response with Major League Baseball pulling out and going to Denver, Colorado, costing Atlanta about $100 million. Atlanta's close to 60% black. That was going to be a very big help for the minorities, again, in a big city that's been hard hit by the pandemic and everything else. I think Atlanta rates maybe number two, no lower than three, as having the highest black proportionate population inside the city. So MLB, in all of its wisdom, because of the Georgia election law and President Biden, when asked about it, them moving the All-Star game, said, well, I think that's, you know, they might want to do that. And bang, that opened the door. They did. And they moved it to Denver, Colorado, to Coors Field. Coors Field. Here's another twist of irony that I don't know they have caught on to yet. Coors Field is named after one of the founders of the Heritage Foundation. Strong conservatives. We had them on the air all the time. And it's also in Denver, something like 70% plus white Americans. I think Latinos maybe outnumber blacks in Denver, but they didn't do anything to advance the rights for black Americans by yanking it from Atlanta. And riddle me this, have they said they're going to tell the Braves you can't play any games in Atlanta, no home games? Have they said that? We're going to shut down all those games too? You're just taking the one game out, just the All-Star game? It obviously was something that is not really thought out. And, of course, it's gotten backlash already, even from Democrats. I mean, when this boycott call started, when Delta Airlines started pointing out this is wrong and we will make it very crystal clear it's wrong, and Coca-Cola echoing that, and you had 70-plus current or former black CEOs of black businesses, in some cases black businesses, otherwise not, but also black CEOs, saying that the Georgia law is disenfranchising and making it tougher for black Americans to vote, which it does not. But they all bought into it. They put in money into a full-page ad in the New York Times with their signatures attached, calling basically for a boycott of Georgia. Who does that hurt the most? Georgia residents. And you know who was really banging the drum in the beginning? That this law is not fair. It's not right. You had to close. The word was going around the polls, close at 5 o'clock. That's not true. That's not true. They stay open to 7. And in fact, New York State has fewer voting days than now Georgia does. I think New York State is 10 and Georgia 17. And in fact, it has more voting days in the state of Delaware, President Biden's home state. Are they going to go after those two states? Well, I think they should, because they're obviously disenfranchising folks that need an 11th or 12th or 15th or 16th day to vote. And they already had voter ID in Georgia, and they have for some time. All this did was say to get an application for a mail-in ballot, we need proof that you are who you are before we send it to that address that you live there. And they also made it clear in the language of the bill, we will provide you an opportunity to get something else if you don't have a voter, if you don't have a picture ID. Bring us, you know, your utility bill or some bill addressed to you at that address. I honestly don't like that, because it's too easy to pick something like that up out of the trash or somewhere and say, that's my address and here I am. Of course, if the absentee ballot gets sent there, you're going to have to interrupt the postman before the actual owner of the house or resident gets hold of it. But again, of course, the other part of the thing they were saying, and this had to probably really incense Coca-Cola, don't you know? Because they were saying, under the guise of those who were complaining about it, oh, you're going to die in that voting line. You're going to be waiting so long, you're not allowed to have anything to drink and no food. That is pure hogwash. That's one of my easier terms to use. Horse manure is another one, and I can go deeper. I bet you can too. But here's the point. No, that's not true either. What they're stopping is anyone affiliated with any candidate or campaign or political party showing up and offering drinks and food for these folks waiting in line, giving them something of value that might sway them once they get inside to vote. There's still water receptacles will be available. Those manning the polls can also take water and stuff out. But how long are you going to stand in a line like that? Some cases, folks do. Sometimes the lines get really long. If you're in the line before 7 o'clock, they're going to count you and get you in to vote. And you might be out there a long time. And I will admit, Georgia summers and the humidity, it's not easy. But we're talking also about the November elections primarily, is that when they hold the main elections, obviously, both in midterm and the presidential terms. But still, it could get hot and muggy in Georgia. I'm not going to deny that. But you can bring your own water and food if you want. And I guess Coca-Cola, that's why they're also calling for a boycott, because maybe their products can't be given on the line. Again, they can't be given by anyone affiliated with a particular campaign or candidate. That's the rule, and that's the law. And that's right, because that would be giving something of value to a voter, basically trying to influence them, maybe. But this is turning around and biting in the butt some of those on the left. In particular, Stacey Abrams of Georgia, who ran for governor, didn't win. That's why you have Governor Brian Kemp in Georgia at this point. And Abrams said, and I'm quoting, and I did this yesterday, but it's worth restating because this just tells you how their ship has gone way off course and crashed against the rocks, and those they thought they were trying to stand up for, they're killing, basically, in the sense of taking away jobs and dollars. I would bet many of those in Atlanta would say, I'll take care of my own drinking food in a voting line, but you took jobs, you took money, you took $100 million out of our economy when we most need it by moving the MLB. And Stacey Abrams had said, Black, Latino, AAPI, Native American voters are the most suppressed over the new law. She's wrong, but she kept banging that drum, and that is what got echoed by many on the left progressives and put the corporations and sports on notice that Atlanta's not being fair. And she pointed out then that they are the most suppressed over the new law and the most likely to be hurt by potential boycotts of Georgia. To our friends, please do not boycott us. To my fellow Georgians, stay and fight. Stay and vote. It's almost like maybe somebody wants to set a little fire in a building or a forest and kind of watch the firemen arrive. They're basically an arsonist, a firebug. But they really only meant to, you know, set the fire on the dumpster or maybe a vacant building or an area of forest that didn't mean anything. And it got out of control. Winds whip it up. It's suddenly into structures occupied by people and lives are being threatened, if not lost. And suddenly, I didn't intend for that. I just wanted this fire to get some attention over here and then I could watch it. This is pretty much what they've done in Georgia and elsewhere among the left as they continue to push this lie. The hypocrisy, of course, it still exists. The whole hypocrisy. 200 corporations issued a joint statement opposing the election integrity legislation similar to Georgia's recently passed voter ID law, and yet those same 200 corporations pretty much require identification if you're going to use their services. That would include PayPal, Major League Baseball, which we've already talked about, United Airlines, Microsoft, Uber, Cisco. They all signed on to that, and every one of them, you have to have some kind of ID if you're going to build or use their facilities, right? You know you do. And in fact, specifically, PayPal requires an ID to confirm a customer's identity. United Airlines demands an ID to book a flight and to get on it. You know that. That's with every airline. But their whole idea was that after Joe Biden said moving MLB, he said, well, I would support that move. Florida Congressman Byron Daniels says what we are seeing again is how members of the left are race baiting.
Oh, they're completely race baiting. I mean, it's out in the open now. I know, look, the Democrats like to, they have this phrase they like to use against Republicans. They call it like a dog whistle. Mm-hmm. And what they mean by that is that if a Republican says something and they feel that in some way it brings up race, that it's a dog whistle to alert, you know, the white supremacists that they need to be on alert to support the Republican. Let's be very clear. What the Democrats are doing is race baiting, and they are using the dog whistle of Jim Crow to try to get black people in the United States, but specifically in Georgia, irate against a bill that actually expands their opportunities and actually secures the process for all people.
Again, that is a black congressman. He's a Republican, but he's saying the bill actually expands opportunities to vote. And also keep in mind, in the midst of all of this, the hypocrisies I was saying about the corporations that are pulling out and doing what they're still doing. And MLB, again, going to Denver, taking that $100 million right out of the hands of Georgia and Atlanta. And already the mayor of Denver said, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to $100 million we didn't expect. And in Georgia, 8,000 rooms, 8,000 booked rooms, don't cut the day that MLB moved it. Where do you think those rooms went? Denver. And I say again, or ask again, is MLB going to tell the Atlanta Braves you can't play any home games this year? Or are the Braves themselves going to decide, we're not going to play any home games? No, they're not. They're not going to go that far. But they are continuing to push the envelope, this woke capitalism, and how it's striking Georgia, and how it's filtering and replicating and duplicating and creating a tsunami across the nation. There's more to be covered on this point. I've got it coming up for you. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. One of our guests we often have on here is Jarrett Stepman, a contributor to Daily Signal, and he put up a piece titled Woke Capitalism Strikes Again in Georgia. And of course, he's talking about all this activity of these corporate groups that have decided to boycott Georgia, pull everything out, or put some pressure on them. Why? Well, because they think that they've got to show that they're woke. They've got to do that. If they don't, then they may be accused of you're racist. And that gets back to what Congressman Byron Donald of Florida was saying a moment ago, Donalds, I should say, that they're going to always play this race card against us, and they're race baiting constantly. And he is a black congressman. So the question Jarrett Stepman raised, did MLB move its all-star game due to an outcry from the players or the people of Georgia? We know they didn't. We know they didn't. They did it because, one, President Biden got asked that as a question. What do you think about, would you think they maybe should move the MLB game out of Georgia because of that new voting law? And he started suggesting, yeah, they should, and that had my blessing. And they did immediately. Now they've been asking, well, President Biden, what do you think about the Masters held at Augusta National coming up this later this year? Think they should move that too? And you know what his answer is? Well, I think the organizers of the Masters should make that decision. he wasn't that coy and evasive when asked about MLB. That's because I think he got the word and everybody else did. Look what you did. And so he said, I think that should be in their hands. Well, let me make it clear to you. Augusta, Georgia is still going to host the Masters. The PGA is not planning on moving out. And on top of that, CBS, which is among those joining the civil rights groups and others complaining that maybe we need to shame the Republican lawmakers in Georgia for what they did, that it's, quote, racist, an effort to suppress voters. CBS originally had a headline story, three ways companies can help fight Georgia's restrictive new voting law. But because of all the backlash, they quietly backed up and started rewriting it, saying, here's what the companies are asking for. In other words, we're not pushing it. We're just telling you what they're doing. And CBS is going to broadcast the Masters. Now, if they really want to prove how woke they are, don't carry the coverage. Don't carry the coverage of the Masters. You see what happens. You know how many others would rush in on that? And then you got, of course, the question that Senator Marco Rubio raised the other day to the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred, who lives in New York. The question is very simple. He said, so you're moving the MLB out of Georgia, the All-Star game, because of, quote, how Georgia is racist. Are you going to maintain your membership in the Augusta National Golf Club? That's right. The MLB commissioner has a membership in Augusta. You know what the answer has been from the MLB commissioner? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? No, I don't know, and you don't know, because he's got nothing, has said nothing about his own membership. Which brings us to a great quote from Senator, all right, here it is, Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. He tells the MLB commissioner, quote, go to Amazon and buy a spine and answer questions. I love that. What's happening in Arkansas on that bill? Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have on my desk another bill passed by the General Assembly that is a product of the cultural war in America. I don't shy away from the battle when it is necessary and defensible, but the most recent action of the General Assembly, while well-intended, is off course, and I must veto House Bill 1570. If House Bill 1570 becomes law, then we are creating new standards of legislative interference with physicians and parents as they deal with some of the most complex and sensitive matters involving young people.
Those are the words of Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, Republican. You might have thought you were listening to a liberal Democrat. That's a Republican. And Monday, he vetoed a bill passed overwhelmingly by his legislature. The legislation would have blocked transgender procedures for minors, including drugs and surgeries. It would have prevented transgender procedures from being considered deductible expenses for income tax purposes and several other things. The governor said that reference this bill, as it's called, HB 1570, the actual title, Arkansas Save Adolescents from Experimentation, SAFE Act. Save adolescents from experimentation. It is the first of its kind in the nation. The governor acknowledges that. And again, he says it's well-intended, but he said it's off course to some extent. This issue of pushing kids into transgender decisions, either puberty-blocking drugs or, in some cases, surgery, moving them into surgery, pushing that, this has been escalating. And yet it's still a minority group. And when we look at the kids who are being put in the line of fire, and I say line of fire for this, because they're not in any position to make a judgment like that. And quite honestly, there may be, in many cases, parents of the kids who are not in any real qualified position to make a judgment like that for their child. And we don't know how many of the kids are looking at this as, well, it's trending. It's trending. Hashtag trending transgender. I want to be part of it. Not even thinking about what happens down the road. Now, you have a child that wants to have a tattoo. And that child, boy or girl, let's say, is 10 years old. They want a tattoo where it will be visible to everyone. Large, whatever they choose. Are you just going to let the child make the decision? Or are you as a parent going to say, no, you can't do that? When you get to be 18, you'll make the decision, but now you don't do that. Then when they turn 12, now can I? No, I said 18. 16, all my friends have it. Said, okay, so you end up relenting. Or do you? Now, a tattoo being a mark on the body, obviously, that if they decide in the future they want it taken off, painful, expensive. Who's going to pay for it that time? And the other issue being, of course, kids going through that cycle, and this goes all the way into college and into young adulthood past that point as well, we make decisions that later we look back, that wasn't such a good idea. I mean, out there for you guys and you girls, you ladies on the other side, some of you remember back in high school days and some college days that if you, if you were dating and you wanted to prove that this was someone linked to you, and you were a letterman, you had a letter in a varsity sport, well, then you let the girl wear your sweater or jacket. Or girls did the other way, too, because they were lettering and they were dating a guy and wanted to let them maybe can't wear their jacket, but they tried. Give me just a moment here, will you? So I guess... trying to talk about my younger days. I've been fighting this allergy from time to time, and it comes back. Bear with me. But how many times did later they look back and say, boy, that was, I want my sweater back. That's not a good relationship. Or I don't want it. Don't like it. That's common life. It happens like that. But when you look at this transgender issue, Governor Asa Hutchinson says it might be a small group, but they deserve some concern.
It is undisputed that the population of minors who struggle with gender incongruity or gender dysphoria is an extreme minority. But while they are a minority, they deserve the guiding hand of their parents and of the healthcare professionals that their family has chosen.
So, again, the governor, in canceling that and vetoing the bill, says even if they're a minority group, they still deserve a guiding hand from parents and the medical profession. In August, the American Journal of Psychiatry released a correction to a 2019 Swedish study that erroneously concluded individuals claiming to be transgender experience mental health benefits following gender-affirming surgeries. The American Journal of Psychiatry note the authors of that study originally had retracted their conclusion after numerous requests for a reanalysis. And then after that, they found out, the Swedish study concluded, that neither gender-affirming hormone treatment nor gender-affirming surgery decrease the need for mental health services of those claiming to be transgender. Governor Hutchinson did not appear to acknowledge that once children are administered puberty blockers must go on to insist on cross-sex hormones, which will make them sterile. And in the midst of part of his argument, he said, what we have here is that as Republicans, we've always held the line. We don't want government interference. Well, that echoes the words of those who are pro-abortion. It's my body, the women say, not yours, not the government decide. It's my body decide what I want to do. Well, the governor says that this particular bill is proposed by his legislature, the one he voted, and then they overrode the veto. He said they are basically creating an overreach that is against core policies of Republicans.
This is too extreme. It was too broad, and it did not grandfather in those young people who are currently under hormone treatment. And so this really puts a very vulnerable population in a more difficult position. It sends a wrong signal to them. And it's very important to note that we're not talking about sex change surgery. We're not talking about that because I would sign that bill. That shouldn't be done for someone under 18.
Well, he says that in that part of an interview that he did with NPR. But on Tucker Carlson, he changed the point just a little bit. I'm not saying completely, but looked at it maybe a little bit different. We're going to get into that in the second hour. But here the governor saying the bill as it's presented is just too extreme. And he made it very clear. He said, if it was just chemical castration, I'd be against it. Well, this does involve chemicals. Recently, the executive director of the American College of Pediatrics and the executive director of a feminist organization, Women's Liberation Front, talked about these life-altering dangers awaiting teens who have gender dysphoria who insist on receiving cross-sex hormones following puberty-blocking drugs. The end result of puberty-blocking from occurring normally could be a fast-forward to middle age and all the health concerns that come to those in their 40s and 50s. Has anyone talked to those kids about that? You got your grandfather, he's not looking too good. You want to suddenly accelerate your life to that point and maybe closer to death by doing this? But Governor Hutchinson, trying to defend his position on striking down this law, he says, again, I think as Republicans, we have to look at this in a different way.
But also in my veto, I wanted to say to my Republican friends and colleagues that we've got to rethink our engagement in every aspect of the cultural wars. The Republican Party that I grew up with believed in a restrained government that did not jump in the middle of every issue. And in this case, it is a very sensitive matter that involves parents and it involves physicians. And we ought to yield to that decision making unless there's a compelling state reason. And I think this is too extreme for me to sign.
He's in some hot water, obviously. I do believe that the man is trying to, he's doing what he thinks is right, although it's not satisfying conservatives, Republicans. And it came back on him when, you know, he vetoed it. The legislature is just going to go ahead and push it through anyway, despite his veto. I think maybe his heart's in the right spot that, you know, the real point he's raising is if a child is already undergoing this by signing this law, it would stop at that point wherever the child was in getting the drugs. Is that wise? Is that a good idea? Is that what we should do? The child's already been moving that direction. Now, we might stop from additional. Maybe they're not to the point where they can't stop, but what if they are? What if there's going to be a situation that's going to be worse by stopping it now? Some additional thoughts on that coming up.
I'm
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above health care, over and above parents?
Again, the words of Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas. That was one of the remarks he made last night on the Tucker Carlson show as to why he decided to veto the legislative bill that basically would have stopped all transgender changes and supplements for anyone under 18 in his state. And, of course, when you hear that, hey, we're protecting those 18 and under from this kind of thing, you think, oh, sure, we should. But the governor still points to the fact that if someone is already in the process of going through these gender transitional procedures and you suddenly stop them and by law they can no longer take the supplements and so forth or be changed, what happens then? And he actually was able to tie in Ronald Reagan and William Buckley, strong conservatives, saying that they would not go along with this either, basically, is what he's trying to say. Well, I don't know what they would say. They're not here to state it. But I will tell you this. He's making an argument that the left and the pro-abortion has always made. Anytime you try to come between someone and their doctor with government interference, and you're wrong, you're out of line, specifically abortion. That's not going to play well for those pro-lifers. Doesn't play well for me when you get to that point either. The opponents of the bill have argued access to medical care lowers suicide rates among trans people. That's what the opponents say. Some believe the legislation contradicts President Joe Biden's 20 executive order meant to combat discrimination based on gender identity or sexual orientation. In response, an American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry study states that 90% of young adults who experience gender dysphoria eventually identified how they were assigned at birth. In other words, when they're young and malleable and gullible, they might say, yeah, I'm born a boy, but I feel like a girl, or the other way around. But according to that study, 90% of them who have some of that thought at some point in their life eventually recognize, I am who I am, this is the way I was born. Despite all the best efforts and the intent of what the governor is trying to point out that, you know, we have to be careful of government overreach, there are times we need to have the government be involved in our safety, obviously. Happens all the time. His point, his strongest point I see, is that if a child is already undergoing some of these puberty-blocking drugs and the law that the legislature came up with is passed and effective immediately, then all those treatments will stop, at least in the state of Arkansas. If it's your child, regardless if you're conservative or liberal, if it's your child and you and the child have agreed that this is good for them, it's going to be a better thing, and they don't, you know, and you go ahead with it, right or wrong, at that point, do you want it suddenly the treatments to stop? Where does that leave your child? Rachel Levine, of course, is, as you know, the new Assistant Secretary of the Biden Department of Health and Human Services, a transgender. Rachel born Richard Levine. And she insists that this transgender issue is not a political issue, it's a health equity issue. Fairness, equality, specifically health equity. We have too many pushing that idea to the kids, and I think in many cases the kids are being brainwashed They really don't feel that way. They're not in that direction, but they end up going that way. And this is irreversible. Pretty much irreversible. It's one thing if they want to experiment with homosexual affairs for a time, but at some point they actually know which direction they want to go. But that kind of surgery, puberty blocking, that changes them forever. Speaking of someone else who's undergone this, who's much older now, Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner is now considering a run for the governor's office if there's a recall in California. Would become the, you know, originally, remember, born as Bruce Jenner, Olympian. 2015, transitioned to a woman, took the new name Caitlyn. And suggesting if there's a recall election of Newsom, I may end up running for governor of California. As my boots on the ground, Andrew, said, I read this, my mind is blown apart, mind-boggling. Stand by for the second hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.